Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. Next, I'm joined here by Dr. Paula Ray. She has worked in psychology her entire life, and some of her specialties have been in child psychology as well as in trauma. And in addition, she has a strong interest in and participation in the arts. So, Paula, you're here to have a discussion with me about a number of things, but I'm so glad to have you join me here on Friday Live this week.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here and have an opportunity to speak to the topic.
So one of our topics is going to be the importance of the arts during times of stress. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention, though, that we're also hoping to learn more about a project that you're working on. This is slated currently for July, and it's called Shadows in Light. But I wonder if we could just get the briefest of overviews of what that project is right now, just as kind of a background for our discussion today.
Certainly. Shadows in Light, Untold Stories, is the name of the project. And it's actually a partnership project between Families Inspiring Families, which is a community support organization, and the Angels Theater Company, which I've been a member of as a playwright and director for a number of years now. And the project is based on principles of people having the capacity to share their lived experiences and being able to put those into a performance piece. And we're looking at the benefits of that to the individuals, as well as bringing a voice to the community that isn't often heard. So that's why the name Shadows in Light, Untold Stories. It's started about a year and a half ago. It involved 10 writers who came forward from within the Families Inspiring Families Network. They have stories of lived experiences of their families that are at the intersection of trauma and mental health and the legal system. And these performance pieces that they developed over a group experience that we met for about 9 to 10 months, twice a month. We did a lot of theater-embedded activities, as well as writing. Each participant was assigned a theater-experienced coach who assisted them in the development of their story being told in a performance piece. So over this period of time, they developed a autobiographical performance piece that then they presented to the larger group over this period of time. And then we're taking it a step further, and we're taking those stories and merging those into a larger collective embodied story, so to speak, that involves movement and sound, as well as shared storytelling of these lived experiences that will be performed at the Lead Center. And we're doing that as a way to empower people whose voices might not be heard, to be able to bring those voices to the community so that people can hear those, resonate with those stories. That gives a sense of connection, of community, of bringing people out of shadows and making the experiences that people have shared with others. There's a resonance that we have, and we know that one person's story brings up an emotional experience for us that we're connected with. And it from that universal experience grows this connection that is felt so deeply, it's transformative. So it's being introduced as a model also within the community about how community groups can come together to help people to not only share their stories, but to inform the community, to build those bridges that are necessary for people to feel involved in their community.
I was just thinking, as you were describing that, of the experience we've all had at one time or another, whether it's about something little or something big, when we recognize a similar experience in another person, our face maybe lights up, or we seem surprised to find someone else who's had that shared experience. I can just imagine what that reaction is going to be for someone who recognizes a shared experience. It makes you feel good.
And I think that's one of the benefits of art that art brings to us. It allows an aesthetic distance that the observer can look at a performance piece in this case. They can experience an emotional resonance, but it also is balanced with this reflective capacity. So it's a moment. Art brings us moments where we feel deeply and we think reflectively on such a high level that we don't always have the opportunity to do.
Yeah.
There's a real mirroring experience of the human experience. And that's what art is. That's the psychology and the physiology of art as well.
So that gets right to the meat of our topic today, which is art and the importance of the arts, whether it's drama, theater, music, mm-hmm. Visual arts, during times of stress. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could speak to first, what are people experiencing right now during all of the changing news? It seems like it changes daily.
Right.
And then why are participation in the arts important as we go through that?
In times like this, when people are worried about the coronavirus, they're worried about the impact on their health, on the health of their families, on their community. It impacts their employment, their income. There's so much instability right now in terms of financial security that people feel. There's an array of feelings that are normal under those circumstances. Feelings of panic are normal. Feelings of despair are normal. Feelings of isolation, increased fear. And that does make us prone to seek out sources of information that sometimes would be helpful at these times to stay grounded with and not be open to a lot of false information. So there's some strategies that people can take to deal with those feelings at mm-hmm. this point. One of them is to stay involved and to be informed. Mm. Know what's happening in their community. Know what they can do in their home, in their places of business to help keep themselves and others. And always thinking in those terms, thinking dyadically, right? Thinking about oneself and the other in a way that allows us all to be mindful of our own health and the health of others around us. I love the saying that the Queen says, right? Stay calm and carry on.
Well, you know, you talked about that thinking of yourself and thinking of others.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things parents can do, and maybe specifically related to the arts, but also otherwise during these times of stress?
Well, I think one thing that we need to be mindful of when we talk about emotions exist in the body, right? I mean, that's where we feel it. Our heart races, or we feel the butterflies in our stomach, our throat constricts, you know, our eyes constrict and we don't think clearly, right? We become forgetful because it's in the body and that's where we're feeling it. So being mindful of activities that keep us, keep our bodies healthy, as well as keeping our bodies in states that are relaxed and joyful. One of the things that a colleague sent me an email just this morning, and it was information on a project that is currently being undertaken by the University of Colorado, where they're calling them daily dance parties. And children and parents can register for free for these virtual dance parties.
Uh-huh.
So things like that, where people can use technology in a way to stay connected, and they can also then move their bodies, because getting the body moving, feeling states of joy, are also ways that we deal with those heightened states of distress as well. So being mindful of that is something important for all of us to keep our focus on. There are some activities that families can do to help minimize the stress right now. Again, one of that is staying updated about what's happening so that there can be family conversations, so the parents can inform their children in a developmentally appropriate way, those developmentally attuned conversations that keep their children informed and give them a sense of safety.
Mm.
And the parents being mindful that they're the models of how to cope in times of uncertainty. You know, and one way that families can help minimize stress is to keep their schedule as consistent as possible around those basic activities, you know, bedtimes, meals, staying active. So engaging in some fun play activities at home mm-hmm. that are all body-based, you know, rolling on the ground, doing pretend play, imaginative play, all of that are ways that families can help young children. Again, some of these virtual dance activities, things like that, setting activities up like that mm-hmm. with peers for children is a great way to help children feel safe and have fun and manage some of those more distressing emotions that are normal and under these circumstances. Another way, though, is really modeling proper hygiene, hand washing, and talking about that, providing the narrative to children. Well, why are we doing this? Well, this is a reason why. It helps keep us safe and helps us keep each other safe, the rest of the family safe, and our community members safe. Some young children, there may be increased fears of being alone, bad dreams. Even some speech difficulties could arise. Children don't have the developed concepts or the language to express some of the sense of uncertainty. So really encouraging their expression through play, right, through reenactment, storytelling. That's one of the best ways to go. It's really great. It's a way to embody the emotions as well as the mind, the reflective capacity, and then to think ahead. So involving children and other family members and the strategies that are used at home to take those necessary precautions.
Now, you have been a participant in many types of arts, music, theater. You are married to someone who is heavily involved in the arts, too. I wonder if you could talk about your personal experiences with the arts, what they've done for you, and why you find them important.
I think that performance art, again, because of the concepts of how it embodies experience in a way that talking and words cannot fully do. So my experience has been in the performing arts, primarily at this phase of my life in theater as an actress and a playwright and a director. I also bring a neuropsychology background, so I'm very fascinated and steeped in the neurology of the experiences that we have as human beings. And particularly for me, I've had this interest in performance art. My experience dates back actually to when I was a social worker. Before I was a psychologist in the early 70s, I worked as a social work student on a project with gangs in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And we had a project where the youth who were involved with the court system would develop these performance pieces that were about a courtroom experience. They would have a jury of their peers. They would have a judge. And the transformative power of that was so impressive to me. So I've always been steeped in that and then trained in Gestalt therapy and drama therapy as a social worker before I even got into psychology. Recently, my involvement with performance art, primarily theater, has led me to understand how there is an aesthetic difference when a performance piece, a theater piece, resonates with an audience. And in that space where a story is told that people connect with, there is that drama therapy nomenclature, which is around this aesthetic distance. Boal talked about that in terms of theater of the oppressed. What is the core of that experience? So from a neuropsychological perspective, I look at the overlay between higher level cognitive processes that we categorize under the area of executive functionings. Now, executive functioning starts developing in utero, and basically the foundation of it is the capacity for the nervous system to be in a very calm, organized, but alert state. And when the nervous system is in that organized and alert state, higher level thinking, reflective capacities come into play. And the mind and the person has the capacity to reflect on their past, on their future, and what's happening in the here and now in a way that allows for a flexibility and an adaptive response to the environment that enhances people's capacity in all areas, social, occupational, functioning, just day-to-day problem solving. I think that theater and art are the ways historically in societies that function, that ability for we as humans to get into that space has served us. It has allowed for a mirroring experience on a personal level and on a collective level that is unique to the arts. If I had to come up with a definition of art, what is it? It's a higher level mirroring that we as humans are allowed to have when we view a performance. We hear a piece of music, we see a painting, we hear a poem, and suddenly we're there. We feel it in a way that it's, we can feel it in our breathing. We know, and then we're reflecting. I feel elevated, I feel transformed. And I think the theater has the capacity to transform, to provide people with a transformative experience. You had asked me about my theater experience I think I'm going more into the kind of the psychology of it, but I can't unweave both of those threads, I think.
You are deeply in both.
Deeply in both. And that's what the project Shadows and Light Within is really all about. There is some research that around using theater performances based on lived experiences that can be used to transform families. And like this project is a model of a community project that can do just that, where within a family support program, there can be this experience that initiates a process for the families of transformation that is embedded in that theater experience of a performed experience, an autobiographical performance piece, witnessed by others. So we think of the witness as also, in theater terms, the audience.
Right.
There's that engagement, and it's in that higher level exchange of energy that we as humans have the developed neurological capacity to contain that transformative experience of art hits home.
If kids want to act out something that's different from what's going on right now in the news, maybe it's a distraction, but if they want to act out something that does have to do with what's going on in the news, what are the difference between those two kinds of play acting? Do you see what I'm getting at? Like, one seems like a distraction to me, and the other seems like maybe a manner of coping, like what you're talking about,
Absolutely.
These transformative productions.
Absolutely. You know, in a lot of the early childhood therapies, we approach those therapies in a way that is play-based, and we follow the themes of the play and the emotional themes of those plays, because that's the way children express what they can't verbalize, what they can't conceptualize on a higher adult level.
Mm-hmm.
And when we work dyadically with parents and children, what we facilitate as therapists is the capacity to form that narrative, that larger narrative, in a way that the parent narrates it for the child in terms that the child can relate to, not only conceptually but emotionally, and that they're doing it together while they're engaged, while there's affective, emotional exchange going on, and they stay nice and regulated and they have fun. Because it's those states of joy and fun that are, they're, you know, they're two sides of the scale. We have joy and fun, or we have distress and panic. We have them all, right? We're humans. We have them all. So if we focus on just, well, there's panic, let's focus on the panic, but we don't realize that we balance that out by increasing the joy. And that's what play does. That's what allowing children to be able to share their stories of their experience, really all of us. I mean, this project is around focusing the same principles on adults that we do with children.
Mm-hmm.
That idea that we embody and we share things. The body knows.
Well, Paula, it's so wonderful to talk with you today about the importance of that sharing through the arts, whether it be drama and theater or some other form of art.
Yep, whether it be music, fine art, any form of expression that's creative.
Dr. Paula Ray has been my guest. She has worked in psychology her entire life. We talked a little bit about an upcoming project called Shadows in Light, Untold Stories, as well as ways that people can keep calm during and carry on during this whole thing. Paula, thank you again for being part of Friday Live this week.
Oh, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.